And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherDigest.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you back. I know we're a little bit late. Luke is dealing with a cold, and God bless his soul.
Yeah, if you can't tell from my current voice and the number of sniffles that I do in the next, 40 minutes, maybe that should be a game. Count the number of sniffles I have. I'll try to mute my mic as much as possible.
So if you hear a sniff, drink. And for you college kids, let's see how good your tolerance is. But anyway,
oh, boy.
We're sorry we're a little bit late. We got, Luke's got a cold. I got a cold. Derek is out of the country, I believe. That's what the text message said that I got. So it's just going to be Luke and I breaking down the Nebraska loss. Obviously a tough loss, Luke. What were your, just immediate impressions? I know it's a few days past the game already, but what did you think what you saw on Saturday?
Well, Saturday was, when you look at the statistics, and if I said, okay, Leidner throws for 300 yards and we rush for 65, part of me thinks, boy, things must have really been going well in the passing game. And, I'm going to assume that our defense played particularly well and we probably won. And I'm not saying like convincingly, but, I would think that we probably won. But then when you look at the score, it's more, 48-25. And for the most part, our defense just couldn't stop anything. And it feels a lot like the Purdue game last year to me, where the defense just makes no sense to you as why they can't stop anything, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, as you said, if someone would have said to me, 10 minutes before game time against Nebraska that Leidner has 65% completion percentage and throws for over 300 yards, as I told you before we went on air, Luke, I'd say, so we won by how much?
15.
Yeah, exactly. And the crazy part about this all is this is maybe the most disappointing loss of the year. Maybe it's a little bit less than Northwestern. But I think Mitch Leidner had his best game of the year and probably top four or five of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, he played well. He got, from a receiving point, he got not a ton of guys involved, but he got a few guys involved. KJ May definitely was the premier receiver. We saw a little bit of a breakout from Eric Carter as well. Eric Carter probably arguably had his best game as a Gopher. But Leidner for the most part made good decisions. I'm going to basically say the last, 5 minutes of the game, I don't really care that he threw two interceptions. Cause at that point, you're almost taking too many risks to not throw an interception. I think that's more inevitable than it is not. So I'm not really putting that on him. I don't think that's necessarily indicative of how well he played.
No, I think if you take out like the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter where Leidner is just slinging the ball around, doing 2 minute drill, trying to go up and down the field.
Right.
That is not Mitch Leidner. Every fan here knows that. You're listening to this podcast, you're a diehard Gopher football fan. You know that that's the last thing you want is Mitch Leidner going five receiver wide. And he's getting just pummeled.
Yeah.
The offensive line looked just, they couldn't do anything. Like, if I told you that Brandon Lingen had more yards than Shannon Brooks and Rodney Smith combined, Minnesota's probably not going to win a lot of ball games that way.
No.
And for the offensive line, they just, I know they're battered. I know that, there's all the excuses in the book, but this is the same offensive line that did well against a bad Purdue team. Yes, I understand they're bad, but Nebraska is still 2-4. And it's the strength of their defensive line, their defense on the defensive line, absolutely, because their pass defense is abysmal.
Yeah.
And you saw that. That's why Mitch Leidner was able to throw for 300 yards. But this offensive line, they just couldn't get anything going, obviously. 26 carries for 65 yards.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
it's bad. You often hear coaches and media heads talking about how they want balance between the run and the pass. But a lot of times the metric that they use is, how many times did you run the ball? How many times did you throw the ball? you know, with the Gophers, obviously they had more passing attempts. But when the thing that matters to me more so is how effective you're running the ball. So if you're going to have balance, you want to have better than the 2.5 yards per carry that the Gophers had, and they basically had to lean on actually passing the ball, right? Like they just couldn't do anything running the ball, and they were more running the ball to hopefully not tip their hand that they're going to throw every single down.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, basically a flipped game script from last week, where Purdue, Minnesota rushed for 300 something yards and only threw for 60, and then this week they threw for over 300 yards and only ran for 60. Again,
yeah.
When you look at the game scripts, if you say Minnesota runs for 300 yards, they're going to win most ball games. But if you say they only rush for 65, they're not going to win that many times. As fans know, this is a run-first team. They like to run 65% of the time. And if Mitch Leiner has to throw – is this a new career high for Mitch's for pass attempts? If you're 40.
Yeah,
I think it is.
It might be. It's definitely yardage-wise. So, I think this is his first 300-yard game.
So Mitch Leiner, for the fourth – he can't. I believe this is the fourth game this season he's broke his passing attempts record.
Right.
So he started in the late 20s, then the early 30s. Now he's at 40, and this is his first 300-yard game. It's just tough, Luke.
I think that if you're one of those people that's like, hey, you know, Leitner's the problem. I think at this point during this bye, you kind of have to look at yourself in the mirror and go, I think the truth is, and it has been that we've been saying for a long time, that it really comes down to this offensive line and that health. I think that we underestimated how much we were going to miss Tommy Olsen and how much we were going to miss Epping, right? Those are bigger losses. And then I know injuries play a big role in this, but Leitner is, he's not necessarily the problem. He has his limitations. I'm not going to say that he is the guy that's going to lead the Gophers to the promised land, but he is by far not head and shoulders the number one problem on this team from an offensive perspective.
No, it's not even close. And fans who think that are just, you guys got to take a look at yourselves. Yes, Leitner is part of the issue, but he's not the issue. I mean, and you're talking to a guy who, you know, fans love to call me a Leitner apologist. I am far from the truth. That is far from what I believe, and you're talking to a guy who thinks that Demery Croft should be the starting quarterback now that his redshirt is burnt.
Right.
Again, I understand Leitner's. Again, we talked. You know, we were bringing him up. 300 yards, 65% completion percentage. He had the game of his career thus far.
Yeah.
Great. That's great for Mitch, but as you said, he's limited.
Yeah.
And the bigger issue is that this offensive line does miss Epping. They do miss Olsen. But it's just they don't have the physical depth. And what I mean by that is, yes, they may have bodies back there, but are those bodies have a physicality to them? Are they, you know, have the mindset that I'm going to dominate you each and every play, or are they thinking, holy cow, I'm in the game, let's not screw up? Because there is a big difference between a mindset of, hey, what's my assignment, I don't want to screw up, to, hey, what's my assignment, I'm going to kick the guy's, you know, butt across from me, and I want to do that every play. And I don't think Minnesota has enough of those guys. And that's why you're seeing them on the recruiting trail right now in the bye week, looking at a potential another JUCO guy, another
sure.
guy to go on the inside, as there is zero depth on the inside of this offensive line right now.
Right.
Zero. The backup center right now, Luke, is walk-on Matt Leitner.
Yeah.
Matt Leitner works his butt off, and I have nothing but good things to say about him. He's a great kid. He's also 6'1½", 280 pounds.
Yeah.
What are you going to do if Tyler Moore gets hurt? John
yeah.
Christensen's already on one knee.
Yep.
Brian Bobek's got a concussion. You know, Joe Bjorklund's on one knee. Jonah Perzig's on one shoulder. Josh Campion's got a concussion. Ben Lauer's on one knee and one wrist.
Yeah, Ben Lauer. And Ben Lauer's always hurt.
Yeah, and it's just, again, this is worst-case scenario coming into the year. Is what could happen on the offensive line. I can guarantee Lime Grover and the coaches are sitting around the table or the water cooler, like, what's the worst that could happen? This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. They're all hurt. They're all injured. And they don't have any depth. And they don't want to burn any more red shirts on the offensive line.
Right.
Could a guy like Bronson Dovich from Chaska or Quinn Osland, you know, a very highly ranked guy coming out of high school, had offers from Oregon, Wisconsin, and everywhere, probably make a better impact on this team this year and help them out for the last five games? Probably. But again, it's about maintaining that redshirt, letting these offensive linemen, you know, get that year that you wish you had from Tommy Olsen. And then the staff knows that, and that's why they're trying to redshirt him. But, I mean, that's us talking about the future. But, Luke, I mean, what is your prognosis for this offense for the rest of the year? And as we're going to talk about this more on Thursday when we bring on Matt Humber of the Daily Gopher, MV of DC on Twitter. He's one of the best Gopher football minds around. I love talking with him. So look forward to that later this week. But, again, five games left, and it doesn't get any easier. You got Michigan, who will be ranked, Iowa, who's ranked, Ohio State, who's ranked, Wisconsin. I mean, what is the hope for this Gopher offense for the next five games?
I think you have to hopefully find some semblance of an identity. I think they currently are trying to find that. You know, they obviously focused on the run against Purdue, and were very successful. You know, they tried very unsuccessfully to run the ball against Nebraska, and then, you know, abandoned hope and just threw the ball, partly because they were down, but also because that was about the only thing that was working. You know, you have to have some sort of identity. I think they'll still stick to trying to run the ball. I just don't see them being terribly successful. I'm not trying to say that I'm not high on Rodney Smith or Shannon Brooks. I just think that there's not holes for these guys to run through. So now you have to try to identify playmakers elsewhere and get the ball in their hands other ways. So I would imagine, I kind of hope, and I don't know if they'll do this because of their risk aversion, but I would kind of hope that you maybe see a little bit more of the more rhythm passing or the timing routes, you know, the three-step drops that we maybe saw against TCU, to some of these maybe emerging receivers like a KJ May, who's played particularly well. Eric Carter's played well. We've seen the emergence of Brandon Ling, and he's come on the last two games, and maybe we eventually can get a healthy Isaiah Gentry or one of these redshirt freshmen to step up and play meaningful minutes. I can't see them running the ball that well. I can't see them holding long pass blocks in play action, so maybe a rhythm, quicker passing game is something they need to go to. But it's not been the identity of Kill or Limegrover the entire time.
And if they switch to something like that, I'm, again, raising the flag on the Demery Croft train, saying if you're going to go quick timing passing, why the heck don't you just throw at Demery Croft? Why? Yeah. Because he is in that kind of an offense, he is going to be a much more efficient and accurate quarterback. But again, I mean, realistically, I would really like if Demery was the starter the rest of the year. Again, I've voiced my opinion about that. The redshirt's gone. I think he's got more talent.
Yeah.
And he's not as limited as Leitner is, and I think he's got a great ceiling in the future ahead of him. But how are you going to bench Mitch when he just had 65% completion percentage, 300 yards?
Right.
You can't. Again, he's not the issue. He's not the issue. Is he a issue? Yes, but he's not. There's a bigger problem going on right now than Mitch Leitner. Again, Shannon Brooks and Rodney Smith are very good running backs, and they're freshmen. Mm-hmm. That's something fans should be excited about because for the next 2-3 years. KJ May had the game of his career. You know, 11 catches for 94 yards, and he also had a score on the ground. He looked very good.
Yeah, and he probably dropped it. He probably dropped a touchdown that he should have had too, right? He should have had a receiving touchdown as well.
Yeah, in the left end zone there. Yeah, Leitner threw, you know, they threw one of my favorite balls, Luke, which, as you know, is the deep route to the 5'9" receivers. You know how much, and everybody who listens to this podcast on a regular basis, you know how much I love it. I love it.
Right.
When you throw fades to a 5'9" wide receiver when Desmond Gantz on the sidelines is 6'4" and the best athlete on the team. Anyways, you know, he should have caught it. Leitner actually threw him a catchable ball, and I believe it hit him like right under the face mask.
Right.
And he just missed it. And that could have been Leitner's second touchdown. But he, you know, KJ, kudos to him. He was one of the best golfers in the field on Saturday. As you said, Lingen played well. Eric Carter, 4-91 in a touchdown. Especially on that first touchdown of the game, you know, Leitner rolling to his right, has two guys breathing on his neck, throws the ball, Carter adjusts to it, and it's an easy touchdown. But until this offensive line can prove that they can set a tone up front. And it's funny, you know, fans were all complimentary of true freshman Tyler Moore. You know, he played a heck of a, you know, he played a great game against Purdue, but, you know, I haven't seen any of those people trying to say that you know, Minnesota doesn't miss Brian Bobek, because I believe they do. Brian Bobek is a very good offensive line. But until this offensive line can get anything going up front, you know, and they're not going to really be able to do that until they get healthy. So, you know, your hope is, and your fingers crossed, are that during the bye week, the training staff is working, you know, I know they already work extremely hard and they're great people, but that these guys are in getting treatment 8-10 hours a day, trying to get their knees, their shoulders, and their wrists healthy. So against Michigan at 6 p.m. Halloween night on ESPN, this is a completely different Gopher team than you see. But it was tough. You know, we're going to have to see what the outlook is starting next week. But let's transition the defense side of the ball, Luke. 9 possessions for Nebraska.
Yeah.
7 scoring opportunities and scores. Give me your prognosis.
They were basically the definition of balanced. You know, they, in terms of output and yardage, you know, 200 yards rushing, 261 yards receiving or passing. I think Tommy Armstrong played probably about as well as he can. I think some of what we were seeing was they missed Cody Polk a ton. They missed Devondre Campbell some. I didn't think the secondary played as well as they normally do. I also think that, you know, there were some instances where in some ways, you know, Nebraska got a little lucky, and I'll say this, the play that the play where they score a touchdown over the two defenders and it was over Boddy Calhoun where the ball was tipped to himself. I say 9 times out of 10 that ball is incomplete or knocked down. And, you know, that just seemed to be the way the thing was rolling for the secondary. And I personally did not think the defensive line played particularly well where they have. I don't know what happened to Richardson. He, you know, he's vanished in that game. I don't know. It just didn't see it. It was not their best showing. Like I said earlier, felt a lot like Purdue last year. And it's not. I don't know. I trust Tracy Clays in this defense that they'll figure stuff out because they do more often than not. But it's disheartening when you have an opportunity where your offense probably plays. They didn't play well enough necessarily for you to win, but at least in the passing game you played well enough to win. You know, when the Gophers score 25 points, based on what we've seen this year, that isn't necessarily a given. So you got to give your they didn't give their offense a chance to win, and that's the part that's disheartening.
No, and there was just a conglomeration of factors when you're looking at that game. And it starts up front, and it's been an issue all year, and this defense has been able to mask it. But there was just no urgency from this defensive lineman trying to get to the pass rush. Minnesota has 10 sacks through 7 games. That is not good.
No.
That is hashtag not good. It's in if I said before the season, Luke, you know, one of the things I've completely swung and missed on the Tank Deck pick, he's got 5 tackles and I believe a half a sack through 7 games. Where is Hank Ekpe? I don't know where this guy was that I saw tearing it up all spring and fall camp.
Well,
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that part of that, though, you know, has to be our offensive line, right? You saw him abusing our offensive line, and granted, I don't know, they've played, like, the tackles have maybe played a little better than I anticipated based on the first TCU game, but in terms of pass protection, they do get burned by speed rushes probably more than you'd like. And that's maybe why, maybe that's what you were seeing.
Yeah, maybe. And the fact that is that Darren Cochran only has 2.5 sacks. It's so frustrating when Minnesota rushes 4 and Tommy Armstrong is able to sit back there for 5-6 seconds. I don't care how good the secondary would be. with everybody healthy because they're not even close to it right now. But you just can't give a guy that much time with you know, very athletic receivers because someone's going to get open. And if Armstrong has all day and doesn't have pressure in his face, it's just not going to go well. So Tommy Armstrong had way too much time to sit back there and look at a defense that's battered up themselves. But the guy I think that was missed the most on Saturday, and it wasn't even close, is Cody Polk. Not even close.
Yeah.
Cody Polk is probably the center. I'm trying to think of what the right saying is. I want to say he's probably the heart of this defense. No offense to Bobby Calhoun, no offense to Eric Murray, Stephen Richardson. Cody Polk is the glue to this Gopher defense. He is the replacement for Damian Wilson. He has been phenomenal. And he's leading the team in tackles. He's a physical force. And, no, I mean, I don't want to rip on Everett Williams. I really have a hard time ripping on college players as they're, you know, as a former college athlete myself. You know, these guys are putting in 40-hour work weeks at the facility, and then they also have class and a social life. So, but Everett Williams did not play well. He did not play well at all, and that's why you saw him benched. Saw him benched in the second half. And I remember I was breaking down the film there on Gopher Digest for our scoring review series, and especially a newbie's second touchdown run there at the open end zone, Luke. Everett Williams, I have a perfect shot of it. It's the All-22 film, so it's, you know, straight up and down the field. Everett is perfectly in perfect position for this entire play, reads it, and then it's just he was slow to it, and he missed, and the tackle wasn't very good, and he slips through it. Newbie goes right outside, it's a touchdown. There were too many times where Williams would get caught up in the wash. He couldn't get off a defender. It's just Cody Polk get back to it. And Cody was injured on the onside kick against Purdue, and that's why Kill was so fired up about that. Yes, you can argue, why the heck was Cody Polk out there up 30? And the other thing is, I mean, how often do these guys get to go on an onside kick, and the coaching on the charts there are like, who's the heck's the backup for Cody Polk because we don't want him in? I mean, football guys who, you know, should be nodding their heads right now, because that's just, again, you can argue that Cody shouldn't have been in, but it is what it is. He's got an upper body injury, and the guy I talked to this week about it wasn't concerned and thinks Cody should be back for Michigan. So that's a good thing, but man, they missed Cody Polk, Luke, and it wasn't even close. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, they missed Cody Polk. I thought they missed Campbell as well. You can tell, you know, you're right. I mean, part of it is not getting pressure on the quarterback. I think this secondary is kind of overperformed given the injuries to Bobby Calhoun and Demaryius Travis. I thought they've kind of played above expectations maybe that I had previously thus far. I don't know. Maybe it was just the perfect storm, and you know, Nebraska caught us at the right time. I don't know. I think Nebraska's better than their record, right? They've played some really quality teams, and at least in their losses, and you know, they've been really, really close, and they just haven't gotten some bounces, and they seemingly got all the bounces on Saturday.
Yeah, and Nebraska came in with 4 losses. They were 2-4, but they lost by a combined 11 points to a bunch
exactly.
of quality opponents. But still, Minnesota should not have gotten blown out the way it was.
No.
And for fans who didn't know about the Devondre Campbell situation, I talked about this, I think, on Sunday on Gopher Digest. Devondre really didn't even play until the third quarter. The reason was that Devondre became a father on, I believe it was Wednesday afternoon. He wasn't at practice on Tuesday because he was with his significant other in the hospital. Wednesday, he was with his significant other in the hospital, gave birth, and she gave birth to his first child, I believe. So he wasn't at practice for those 2 days, and as fans will have come to know, those are the two biggest days for practice. That's when they go either full pads or pro pads, and there's a little bit of hitting and game planning and all of that. So Devondre wasn't there, so the staff felt that they couldn't really play him much as he wasn't there. Again, that's no fault to Devondre. He's, you know, he became a father, and that's a heck of an accomplishment, and it's one of the proudest things he'll, you know, have in his life. But you can't really play him on Saturday if he's not there on Tuesday and Wednesday, and
right.
not even some on Thursday. So that was the whole Devondre Campbell situation. And then, as you said, the secondary, I had somebody, I understand that, you know, people get emotional during the games that, you know, they're passionate about their Gophers, but Eric Murray didn't play well. I watched the film back, and no, he didn't play well. He was playing out of position in the slot because Boddy Calhoun was outside, and Boddy was rusty and hasn't played in 2-3 weeks, and he was getting his game legs back. He wasn't very effective. I expect him to be a lot better against Michigan. But, Luke, I had a fan tell me that Eric Murray is not going to be drafted, and he said he'd put $1,000 on that. I am here to say I will – if anybody wants to put any significance or any sum of money on the line that Eric Murray doesn't get drafted, I will take your bet every day for the next 365 days and twice on Sunday.
You probably should put at least an injury disclaimer on that, right?
Yes. I will – if Eric Murray doesn't have, like, a blowout his knee or some significant injury, Eric Murray is going to be drafted. Eric Murray is going to have probably a long NFL career. But if anybody wants to bet me sums of money saying that Eric Murray isn't going to be drafted, just – that's all I'm going to – we've talked about it way too much.
All right.
Yes. Okay, yes, Murray didn't play well. Yes, Kunle didn't play well. Boddy didn't look great. No, because he's rusty, coming off 3 weeks. You know, he wasn't in the best shape. Again, you can do all the conditioning you want to do off the side, but once you get in the game, you'll know. I mean, there's just nothing like being in game shape. So maybe they get Travis back. That's something else we should talk about. Luke, why don't we transition to that? Kilt said, I believe earlier today, that Demaryius Travis, there is a significant possibility that he could be a medical redshirt this year with his hamstring injury. Here's the latest I've heard. I've talked to two different people about it today in and around the building, and that is a real possibility. There's going to be a conversation between, I believe it's going to be a couple members of the coaching staff and Demaryius about potentially becoming a medical redshirt. And there's a lot of optimism that if he would choose to go that route, if he's healthy, he can go, obviously. But
yeah,
what I'm trying to say is, it's tough to get an NCAA waiver, especially on a hamstring, I would assume, because how do you prove that he couldn't go? But there's a lot of optimism that if they chose to go that route, they would get it. Demaryius would be able to come back for next year. But again, what's the risk reward? Say Demaryius is ready to come back against Michigan. You need to play him because he's an NFL defensive back. And I firmly believe that, and I'll stand to that. I trust my evaluations of him and other guys that are a lot smarter than me telling me that Demaryius is an NFL guy. So anytime you can replace, Kunle Ayinde, who has, filled an admirably for Demaryius, but he's not Demaryius Travis. He's not even close. If you get him back from Michigan, you get a healthier Boddy Calhoun. This is a completely different secondary.
Right.
The secondary you've seen the last 3-4 games is nothing like what you saw against TCU. And that's why Minnesota was so effective against that TCU passing attack.
Right.
So, what are your thoughts on the Demaryius Travis potential, medical redshirt?
Yeah, if he's healthy, I think let's have him play. I can't imagine being in his shoes and electing not to. I imagine he really wants to play. But, it is a tough situation when you miss so much time. And like you said, maybe he's got a future playing professionally, and maybe this isn't the best way to showcase that. Maybe there's not enough film for him. So maybe there is a theory there that would make sense that he go and he come back and play again. I want him to do what he feels is best for him, and if he can come back and help the team, great. If he's not healthy enough to, let's go for that medical redshirt.
Absolutely, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But fans should know it's a serious possibility. Obviously,
right.
We've talked about it a lot today on Gopher Digest, and there's been mixed emotions about it.
Sure.
I'm not in favor of it one way or another. I'd probably lean towards, selfishly, I'd want him back for 2016 to try and lessen the blow of a secondary that doesn't have, you know, Boddy, Myrick, and Antonio Johnson. But
no, Myrick will be back. It'd be
Boddy Murray.
Yeah, Murray.
Yeah.
Yep.
I also saw there was a Pro Football Focus article that came out last week that said Jalen Myrick was had the lowest, I think it was QBR against him in all the NCAAs, and
yeah.
There's been some speculation that Murray could potentially go pro. I talked about that to someone around the building this week, and I was like, "Are you concerned at all that Myrick may be going pro after the season he's had?" And he told me point blank, "No,
okay.
Myrick will be back."
Sure.
So for fans who are speculating that Jalen Myrick could be going pro after the season he's had, there is no expectations about that around the building, so they don't have anything to worry about there. But
sure.
You know, back to Nebraska, we kind of went off on a tangent there, Luke.
Yeah.
It was just a conglomeration of things. You said no pass rush, Tommy Armstrong had way too much time.
Yeah, and then not forcing any turnovers too, right? This is another game where they don't force another turnover. So, I mean,
no, Nebraska had 9 possessions and 7 scores. They only punted twice.
Yep.
That's not going to get it done. It's not. And this defense knows that, and that's probably the stinker performance and probably Kill's first year in 2011.
Yeah.
Again, you're due for one of these once in a while. The hope, I mean, what you're hanging on to, your silver lining here is against Michigan, you're thinking, oh my gosh, how are we going to compete with a Jim Harbaugh team? I still think I am not a Jim Harbaugh fan. I think that's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. Yeah. And for, I mean, all right, we're going off. I'm going off on a Michigan tangent here, Luke.
Okay.
For those fans who are, you know, like, oh my gosh, what a great job Jim Harbaugh has done. You realize that Michigan has been like a top 10 recruiting class like the last 10 years? Or I don't, again, it's been a top 25 class at least. At least. It's not like Michigan didn't have any talent. Okay? Brady Hoke just wasn't a good coach. It is what it is. But it's
sure.
not like Jim Harbaugh is magically doing this with a bunch of 1- and 2-star kids. No, 4- and 5-star kids. I mean, he's getting them to play a little bit better and better their, you know, abilities. But it's not like Jim Harbaugh's a miracle worker. Again, he's got a bunch of talent, and he's doing something with it. Good for him. Anyways, so.
All right, if we're on the topic of recruiting, let's actually just talk a little bit of recruiting since we're on the bye. Coaches are out recruiting now, and I mean, quite
yep.
frankly, the Nebraska game isn't worth talking about anymore because it wasn't good. So why don't you give me a few guys that the coaches are after here, and you know where they might be around the state, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, give me 10 seconds before I talk recruiting. Silver lining, Cody Polk comes back from Michigan. Brian Boddy is healthier. Demarius Travis comes back. 3 huge guys. That's your hope. As far as recruiting, I've been busy, which is a very good thing. And so the coaches are definitely out on the road. They're out putting in a lot of hours right now. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I know that there's been a lot of speculation about Seth Green. I've seen it. I get probably 2 or 3 tweets a day about it. What's the latest with Seth Green? And the latest is, well, there is smoke. There's smoke to the Seth Green fire, but it's not raging burning, if that makes sense. There's an ember.
Okay.
There's smoke, but there's not a lot going on yet. There's just some things that have to be worked out behind the scenes between Seth Green and Minnesota, and there could potentially be a match there. Would I be surprised if we come on in 1 or 2 weeks and, you know, Seth Green is a Gopher? No, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, could we come on in 2 or 3 weeks and there's nothing going on between Seth Green and Minnesota and there won't be again? No, I wouldn't be surprised either way.
Sure.
So Seth, there is some things going on with Seth Green, but there are some things that have to be worked out behind the scenes. So I've talked about it a lot on Gopher Digest, and I've gone into it a lot more in depth on Gopher Digest. So if you're curious, I encourage you to head on over there. As far as running back recruiting, Minnesota will be taking a running back this class. The coaches have been on the road seeing a bunch of different running back targets. A guy like Akeem Byrd from Savannah, Georgia, is someone Coach Anderson saw today. He is a 6'1", 295-pound athlete that is very fast. He ran a 4.4. He's got a 10-foot broad jump, and he's physical. He's going to be visiting for the Michigan game. Marchell Petaway, he's a kid from the Detroit, Michigan area. He's going to be visiting for the Michigan game as well. Coach Reed is going to see him play on Friday night. And then there's a couple other running back targets that the coaches are seeing this week. They haven't been offered yet. So I don't really want to go into that too much. But if you're curious to see who their names are, again, I have nightly coaches on the road notes that I put up on Gopher Digest. So head over there. Receivers. I find it hard to believe that Minnesota takes another receiver, as they already have Drew Himmelesky, Jedrick Snelson, who received a visit from Coach Phelps yesterday on Monday, and Tyler Johnson, who am I forgetting, and Phillip Howard. So they could potentially have four guys committed there. Both three out of the four have position flexibility to play on the defensive backs. But, I mean, Minnesota's looking at another athlete slash defensive back slash wide receiver, Hunter Broersma. I totally butchered that name. It's Hunter Broersma. He is from Mona Shores, Michigan. He's currently committed to Western Michigan. And I love that kid's film. He's a very good athlete. He's 6'1", 195 pounds, and he can bring it. He's athletic. Doesn't have an offer yet, but somebody to note. And as far as JUCO offensive linemen, I alluded to it earlier in the show. Minnesota is looking at another JUCO offensive lineman. His name is Garrison Wright. He is from Butler Community College down in Kansas, and offensive line coach slash offensive coordinator Matt Langriver will be going to see him tomorrow. So it's pretty busy on the offensive side of things.
Okay, how about defensively? What are some areas that they need to keep recruiting and fill some holes, and who are some targets?
Yeah, so defensive line coach Jeff Phelps is probably putting on the most frequent flyer miles this week. He has been to South Florida to see defensive end Terrell Lucas, someone Michigan wants badly. He's got a couple other offers. I'd expect him to visit in late November. He was in Alabama today seeing Terrence Corbett, a kid who's currently committed to Troy, but he's having a heck of a senior year. He's got, I think, around 20 tackles for loss and 14 sacks. So he's a big, long guy, 6'4", 210. And he'll be visiting next weekend for Michigan as well. I will say, I don't want to give away too much because, again, it's all on Gopher Digest, but Minnesota will be, specifically Jeff Phelps, will be going to see a defensive lineman committed to a Big Ten school on Thursday. So that's very interesting. That's a new name that's come up. And then Jeff Phelps will be going to see Amir Watts, a kid out of the Chicago area. He's got multiple Big Ten offers, including a Minnesota one, and the hope is that he sees him on Friday and sets up an official visit. Defensive tackle, I still think Minnesota takes one, but there's nobody currently that I believe has been seen, and there's not really anybody there to note. Minnesota is potentially looking at taking one more linebacker, and that's who Mike Sherrill's linebackers coach went and saw today. I know fans have probably heard about this guy. I've deemed him the mystery recruit on Gopher Digest. There's just not a lot I can say about him. The recruit doesn't want to have his name out there right now because he's committed to another Power 5 school. My sources don't want it out there as well in interest of the kids. So I'm not going to reveal his name until somebody else does or unless I get permission. That's just the way I'm going to roll. So just know that he's scheduled to visit for the Michigan game as well. In the defensive backfield, Savell's also been very busy. He evals Hunter Broersma up there in Michigan on Monday. He was down in Fort Smith, Arkansas today to see Keandre Thomas. I'd say Keandre is the top defensive back on the board for Minnesota. He's currently committed to Louisiana Tech. But again, if I think fans should have figured out by now, if there's someone Jay Savell wants, you should probably want him a lot more than even Savell does, considering you look at this defensive backfield, a lot of guys going to the NFL. Jalen Myrick had Middle Tennessee, Body had Toledo, Murray had no one, and Demaryius Travis had no one.
Right.
So trust in Savell, hashtag trust in Savell. So Keandre will be visiting from Michigan as well. Sabo will then head over to Houston tomorrow, go see Antoine Winfield Jr., who was supposed to visit for the Purdue game. You know, there was a, I don't even know what to call it. You know, there was a snafu, and Winfield had to cancel. He still plans on visiting next month, but no date has been set. He'll then head over and see Coney Durr on Thursday, another guy that he is very high on Minnesota, and Minnesota's very high on him. He's from the same high school as Alonzo Creighton at Dutchtown High School down there in Geismar, Louisiana. And then, so there's a lot of things going on right now, a lot of new names popping up. Again, I mean, I made my name, whatever name I have, I guess, in the recruiting game. This is probably one of the most exciting times. It's the bye week and the December and January period where the coaches are on the road 24/7. So if you have any interest at all in recruiting, I very much encourage you to check out Gopher Digest, as I can guarantee you you won't find any better recruiting coverage on the Gopher webs. But it's been busy, Luke. It's been very busy.
Definitely. And it's something interesting to follow when there isn't a game to look forward to this weekend. So to conclude this, we'll you want to pump the episode, kind of the bye week special?
Yeah, absolutely. So Derek Burns will not be joining us this week at all. He's out of the country doing his actual work thing. So instead of Derek, we're going to bring on Mr. Matt Humbert of the Daily Gopher, the Sports Nation site, I believe it is. MBFBT on Twitter. I'm sure a lot of you guys know who he is. He used to run the Fringe Bowl team FBT blog for a long time, and it was something I really enjoyed reading back in the day. Yeah, absolutely. It was great work, and he does great work there over at the Daily Gopher. We're going to have him on Thursday night. We're going to talk everything, you know, Gophers to this point in the season, recap what's been good, what's been bad, what did you expect to happen that hasn't happened, you know, all things like that. We'll also look forward for the next five games. You get what his outlook is on the rest of the Gopher season here. Does he think Minnesota can get it to a bowl game, won two out of these next five tough games? So I know Luke's excited. I know I'm very excited to have Matt on. He's in, you know, outside of football, Luke, I think Matt may be one of the smartest human beings I know.
Okay.
Yeah, so it should be a good time. It should be a great time. So,
for sure.
Again, we thank you guys for listening once again. You know, we wish we had happier things to talk about other than a blowout loss in Nebraska. But, you know, there's brighter times ahead, especially on the recruiting trail, as Minnesota's got their best class committed under Jerry Kill to date in the 5 years he's been here. So if you enjoy what we do, we encourage you to leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or however you heard about us. You know, leave us a review, you know, what you liked about us. Again, that helps us and supports us so much. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at RyanBurnsMN. If you want to follow Luke, it's at LukeViewer. So again, on behalf of Luke and I, we encourage you, you know, we thank you for listening to the podcast, and we'll see you later this week. Go Gophers.